Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world. With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour, dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world evolving so rapidly, it's giving some people apoplexy while others embrace their inner zombie. The realization that we ruined an entire generation, that we told men they should engage in menstruation, normalized genital mutilation, also called penis amputation, and generally act like the secure psych ward of the American nation, that realization is hitting some very hard, and it's causing them to hand in their I am a woke moron card. I want to remind everyone also that everything that is happening has already happened. We're just repeating it frame by frame in slow motion because you all drank the legacy media's evil potion. And last but not least, as we discuss the great beast, will justice catch up with the ones whose palms were greased? Welcome back, martini heads. Darlings, I've missed you. I raise my glass to you. And here it is, a very big glass with a very big drink. It's lovely to be with you all again. You know, it really is. I so look forward to this time every other Wednesday when I can get together with my friend Nancy out there in Miami and record a little show and just be me being me. If you're not yet a martini head, and if you're joining us for the first time, a very, very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. Martini heads, we are simple folk. We believe in common sense. We believe in common decency. We believe in common courtesy. Our goal is to live in a vibe of self-awareness, you know? So we don't do PC, we don't do CRT, and we certainly don't buy into that Luciferian cult of DEI and all the protocols and rituals that went along with that. Because we don't need to, you see. Who the heck needs DEI? Because this is America, probably the most diverse country in the world. So if you fell for that crock of hot steaming shit, it is on you, my darlings. Now, martini heads, we do have a tremendous interest in the world around us. We are not isolationists. We know how the world works, however. We know who runs it. We know how it's run, and we know why it's run that way. And in case you missed it, darlings, we are smack dab in the middle of a massive spiritual war, light versus dark. The bad guys, those would be, you know, the ones whose main supporters are the woke ones with their communism and their gender-bending kinky shit, the ones calling themselves progressives, but are probably better described as recessives. They're the ones that want one world government, 15-minute government-run cities and grocery stores, and a two-tier society of slaves and masters. And the good ones, you know, the good guys, the good ones, the ones who don't insist on the entirety of mankind succumbing to their personal delusions, those guys and gals, what do they want? They want to restore a sense of sovereignty to our nation. They, and the world, of course. And they want people to jolly well stand up, by the way, and do their fair share of the work with regard to the restoration of the American Republic. Because how many times do I have to say this? How many times do I have to say this, darlings? If America falls, the world falls. And we certainly can't have that, because I, for one, am not going to go and live through another 1,000 years of Luciferian darkness. Martini heads believe America has that sacred purpose. You know, we're here to show the world the way to peace, to prosperity, into the new golden age, where people don't have to kill each other. They can just trade with each other. Will it be easy? Apparently not. People seem to be so resistant to peace and prosperity. I mean, obviously it's not easy. We're in the middle of it, and it's not very easy, is it? The corrupt don't care to be caught, and they will kill, and they will slash, and they will burn anything that threatens their precious money laundering schemes. You know, they will literally kill a child and drink its blood to avoid being caught. They know what they're doing is wrong. They know there will be an accounting of some sort at some level, at some place, at some time. They just don't know the details. But they are terrified of what will be done to them once the Epstein tapes are finally shown to the public. And they will be. There is no way they can't be. And, you know, they know that at the Trump administration. It's just that the timing has to be so perfect on all of that. When they pull that thread, everything has to fall at the same time. And we can't make any mistakes with any of this, you see. But tell me, ladies and gentlemen, as we come up to that moment that we're waiting for the mass arrests and all of that, what is the correct punishment for raping children? For harvesting their blood and organs? For consuming their blood and their organs and dedicating it all to the dark angel? The dark archangel, I should say. What is the correct punishment for those deeds? Deeds that were done in exchange for money, for some power, and a modicum of illusionary status. Put your answers on a postcard, please, and send them to me. Or even better, write your answers on the back of a $100 bill and send them to my P.O. box. Address is on the website. In short, Martini heads are God without religion and politics without partisan affiliation. Can that be done? Well, it has to be done. It is the only way forward. So we tend to be a lot more, I would say, libertarian in our approach. And because we believe in common sense, that tends to nod a little bit to the right, or so it would seem. Funny how that works, isn't it? But we don't identify necessarily with Republicans or Democrats, even the classical JFK era Democrats. And we certainly aren't going to vote in a Libertarian Party for government, because we are libertarians and therefore we're not idiots. We don't trust us to govern ourselves, let alone trust anybody else on the planet. So I guess we are all waiting for all the hate mail now from my libertarian friends. I guess we're holding space for the vibration of the new golden age, because we fall between all the cracks. And, well, I guess here's something that we can all agree on. Metaphysical Martini is where top shelf spirits meet the Holy Spirit. And that, my darlings, is an awesome combination. Hallelujah to that. And in fact, why don't we have our first official sip of today's drinky poo? Isn't that gorgeous? A lovely, slightly golden color. And I have dressed it with a piece of stem ginger. Let me take a sip right now. Let's see if this drink today is a winner or a sinner. Hold on, my darlings. Don't go away. Sipping is happening. Letting all the flavors dance around my tongue. One more sip. That's really very pleasant. And that's one of those drinks that can be topped up with club soda to make a longer, more refreshing, less alcoholic drink. Which, if you've been, on a quest to lose a lot of weight, like I have, that's going to make a difference to your liver function. What do we have on today's show? I don't know. Let's have a think. Well, of course, we're going to have quack questions, answers, and comments. Quack. Followed by part two of sharing America's first principles through the eyes of and under the guidance of P.G. Arnold, a former military veteran and all-around good egg. He won't be with us today because I didn't call him and invite him. But this is the book that he wrote, The America First Agenda by P.G. Arnold. And I'll be going on at length about why I like this book and why every house should have one. After that, we will have a tiny pat of poetry where I, Ani Avedisian, patriot poet and unapologetic truth-telling mama, will subject you to my latest explosion of words. And then we will end as we always do with a cocktail du jour. And I'll take one more sip of that, actually, because it really is rather nice. Ah, lovely. Okay, my darlings, shall we get on with the show? Let's do it. Let's do it. Folks, if you would like to share the magnificent morsels of your mind with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me because nobody else will read them. And you can write to me at ani@aniavedisian.com, or you can do snail mail, Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA, planet Earth, solar system, whatever the heck it's called. And please don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details, which is, rather inglorious. But if that's what you want, sweet darlings, that's what I will do. So let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity, which is rather unceremoniously a plastic jug. I did have a lovely fishbowl. I don't know if you remember, sometime I think back in late 23, I broke it. And so I just switched to plastic after that. So I'm randomly picking something from the fishbowl. And let's see what this one is. All right. Dear Ani, while I understand the value of remaining objective in all situations, how does one apply that to memories of past situations? That's a great question. Thank you for sending that in. That's Heidi who sent that in. And Heidi hails from the great state of Louisiana. That is a high caliber question. Thank you. She says, while I understand the value of remaining objective in all situations, how does one apply that to memories of past situations? Okay, I feel you're taking a very, very logical tack on this, so I will too. Isn't reason the only justification for accepting any idea? I mean, we all have memories from childhood, and these could have and will have emotions attached to them. But here's the thing, they don't have to affect our minds, do they? If we understand that reason is the only justification for accepting any idea, it's not going to affect our minds unless we allow it to. If we're rational, rationality, it consists of perceiving things correctly. So once that's understood, our perception will adjust and it will align to our higher selves, whether the situation is past, present, or future. So, if you're in a place where you can step outside and be objective, a place where you can look at yourself, that's called self-awareness. You are self-aware. When you're self-aware, you say things like, oh my God, did I say that? Oh my God, did I do that? Was that me? It shouldn't really matter if it applies to past, present, or future. Thank you, Heidi, for a lovely philosophical question there. Let's shake up the fishbowl and see what else is in there. Not too many today, so I think we can, go through all of them today. Let's open up and see what we have here. And this is from Gabriel in Santa Ana, California, who says, "Dear Arnie, is black magic still being used in politics now? And if so, how long for and in what form? Is black magic still being used in politics now? And if so, how long for and in what form?" Okay. How long for? I'm not sure I can tell you, Gabriel and Santa. I don't know. What I can tell you is that I know for a fact that the black hat shamans, who are either reptilian or reptilian trained, have stated many times over that there's not enough fear being generated anymore on the planet for them to effectively weave spells around the intentions of their overlords. So any black magic spell needs, what is a spell? It's a prayer. It's an intention that you are amplifying and giving over to a certain cosmic vibration, a highway of thought, a highway of energy. You're saying, take this intention and deliver it to wherever it needs to go. So really, that's all a spell is, and it needs some oomph behind it. Because when you're trying to terrorize people, that doesn't come from God, obviously. It comes from the altar deity, if you want to put it that way. Then it's not going to be fed by cosmic energy. So the cosmic energy has to be created by the fear that you are creating for the people that you want to enslave. So people are waking up, and they're not buying into this bullshit anymore of the next pandemic, et cetera, or whatever. It's World War III, whatever. I mean, Trump has already shown us these things that are supposed to be happening are kind of happening, kind of not. Oh, yes, they told us that they were going to bomb us at 1 o'clock today. So we got out of the way. Thank you for the warning. I mean, he's telling us we're playing games. All right. So I would say the black magic, in terms of how long it's going to be used, not for long. And, what is the method? The overlords come up with something they want to do. They give it to a group of perceptual engineers, half of which are physicists and mathematicians and linguists, the other half of which are people like me. The physicists, the mathematicians, and the linguists turn it into something that the real world can absorb and give it to the legacy media to implement, and there you go. And the people like me clear the energy around any doubt, that the original intent might have. And then we basically do our version of, they will bless it. They will bless it, and they will continue to foment dissension amongst the masses and to confuse and to frighten. So that's really all it is. You can do the same thing for good, or you can do the same thing for evil. I'm not overly concerned at this point, Gabriel. I'm not overly concerned at this point. What else is in the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity? Let's take a look. I think we've got three more in here, maybe four. Let's see what we got here. Dearest Ani, how do you deal with people who refuse to listen? And this is from John, who lives in John Day, Oregon, out there on the east, the wilderness of Oregon, the dry lands. Those are our own version of the Badlands. John, I don't. I just, why would I? I mean, I just walk away. I mean, why waste my time talking to people who don't want to talk to me? Why would I do that? I have to say, it's obvious now that a great many people out there are coming to terms. They've come to the realization that they may have been wrong on several issues. And given the vitriol that they slung at people like us who saw through the official narrative, Given that the number of relationships that were ended for no good reason, and given that the depopulation agenda of the fake COVID vaccine, plus the truth about money laundering, human trafficking, etc., is now mainstream and accepted as such by anybody with an IQ of 80 or over, by the way, that's not very high, let's give people a chance to regroup, I think, and find some grace within. It must be very, very difficult to realize that you have been going on and on and on, been holier than thou with your virtue signaling and all of your BS, just to one day wake up and find that it's all being disproved and disproved in a very macro mainstream way. There's going to be a lot of processing that needs to be done, a lot of mental internal work, a lot of spiritual work for these people, and it's not fun. It's never fun when you are the one that has to do it. So, John, don't be too invested in people believing your version of the story, even if it is correct. Don't be too invested in that because it could tease the darker side of your ego into action. You know, just saying. Okay. What else is in the fishbowl? What else is in the fishbowl? Swim to me. All righty. Dear Ani, I have just finished a course in Druid lore. It was interesting, but it created more questions than it answered. And I can't shift the feeling that the teacher made most of it up as he went along. It wouldn't be the first time that I've heard that, by the way, okay? That said, I do have a serious question, which so far no one has been able to answer. Oh, is it possible for beings to travel unhindered from one universe to another and back again? I can't tell you who wrote this because he has not given me permission. Oh, well, we know it's a man, but that's okay. I let it slip. Yes, actually, of course. I mean, I don't even have to think about that, but it doesn't always go well. Okay. You need permission. There's a lot of paperwork. And if you get caught, I'm not joking, if you get caught, you get arrested by ICE, the intergalactic customs and excise people, and you will be returned to your home planet. If I remember correctly, and of course I do, it was reptilians, mutated descendants of Luciferian energy, who brought the evil to this universe. I remember Matthew talking about it. By agreement of our God and the ruler of the universe where reptilians originated, a portal was briefly opened so some of the reptilians could enter ours, and we did sort of like a cultural exchange. And at that time in antiquity, which means we can't quite give you the date, it was a very long time ago, the reptilians were the most intelligent, in terms of mental acuity, etc., the most intelligent species in the cosmos. And the agreement was intended to benefit both sides. So, by reproducing themselves as well as procreating with souls who lived in this universe, the incoming reptilians would genetically impart their superior intelligence while absorbing this universe's love light energy. And when they returned to their universe, they would spread this energy, this high vibe, throughout their civilizations. And their progeny in this universe would genetically endow successive generations with superior intelligence. So they would come here, they would hang out for a bit, and they would share their technological expertise with us. And then they would take back with them a sort of spiritual renaissance and sing their Bob Dylan songs. And all we are saying is give peace a chance, you know. And they would get their little guitars and go and sing with the little lizards and all of that. And both of the rulers, both of the gods of each of those universes thought, well, this is lovely. This is going to be a win-win situation. We get their intelligence, and then you get their lovey-dovey feelings. But you see, what happened is some of the reptilians who came did not become beings of love light as they passed on their genes. And something else they didn't do, they didn't go back home. It's like the people who, like the Muslims, that go to other people's countries specifically just to ruin it. They didn't go back home. They proliferated and they caused havoc on our planet and generally in our solar system, our galaxy, in our universe. They were the ones that rendered 10 of our 12 DNA strands dormant. They conquered civilization after civilization, and we all fell to darkness, which is why you need to be properly vetted. And even if you are properly vetted, like I'm assuming these reptilians did, that they were properly vetted at some point, there's nothing to stop people from carrying out their dark intentions. So yes, of course, it's possible to go back from one universe to the other. They have made that a lot more difficult since the reptilians effed everything up. But of course, it's possible. You just need to be able to carry the vibrational frequency that can take you through the portals. And anyone who thinks that going through portals is easy has never suffered severe nausea. It's not necessarily easy. Okay, it is completely possible, though. And the higher your vibration, of course, then the easier it is. So let's see. This is the last one we have in Quack today. And what do we have? It's funny, as we get closer and closer to summer, we have less and less mail. I think people are on vacation and just generally having a good time. And when you're having a good time, you don't think about your problems. So that's it's quite normal, really. Dear Ani, and this is from Craig and Judy Mimicky. Sounds like Mimicky from Madison, Wisconsin. We seem to have quite a following in Madison, Wisconsin. Interesting. I must visit one day. They say, dear Ani, we have finally made the decision to purchase a firearm for home defense. Our budget is for one firearm only. So here's my question. Since there can be only one, which type of firearm would you recommend? And they've gone on a little bit to tell me about where they live, etc., because that is very important. They say, we live in a detached house on a fairly busy street. Penetration is an issue. And also, any other tips and advice you have would be welcome. Is there a brand you recommend and all of that? Okay. So, what we've got here is a young couple who are buying their first firearm for home defense. They say they only have a budget for one firearm. Okay, let's go with that because that just depends. Because what is your budget? You've got to tell me what your budget is. I'm going to go with shotgun. If it's for defense of a property, whether that property is a Winnebago that you live in, or an apartment, or a house, or your neighbor's shed, whatever, if you're living in a property, you want a shotgun. It's the most versatile. I'll tell you for why in a moment. The brand depends on what fits your body type the best. If you're a very, very big person, you can handle a very big gun. If you're 5 foot one like me, you can still handle a very big gun, but you need to go and talk to a firearms instructor who really, knows these things and can help you try out several different firearms. I would, first of all, if you're on a budget, you can do nothing better than go for the Mossberg Maverick. The Mossberg Maverick 12-gauge shotgun, I bought it for about 200. It's probably 300 now. And it's a little gem. Now, why am I recommending a big old shotgun? Because of the variety of ammunition that can be loaded into a shotgun shell. You only need one shotgun, and you can have a variety of different types of ammunition in it. I have several shotguns. There's stuff for hunting, there's stuff for clay pigeons, there's stuff for home defense. But let's just, I just like to collect guns, but let's start with home defense. So mine is a Mossberg Maverick 12 gauge, which packs quite a punch. But the smaller gauges work just as well, all the way down to a smaller 410, for which they now make really decent defensive rounds. I tried some out in ballistic gel not too long ago, and I was quite impressed. And remember, home defense, unless you live in a McMansion, we're talking 5-10 yards at the most. I mean, you're not going to miss with a shotgun, okay? Go down to your local firearms dealer. Let them advise you. Definitely try everything out that you can. And if you have a range that is also a firearms dealer, that would be the place to go to. Essentially, Craig and Judy, there are four types of ammo for shotguns. I mean, there are hundreds of types of ammo. Let's stick to the common ones. Birdshot, a number four buckshot, a double-op buckshot, and one-ounce slugs. In general, the higher the number, the smaller the ball bearings it has inside. So if someone says, oh, I'm using number 7, 8, or 9, that would be birdshot. Lots and lots of tiny little ball bearings. We use those mainly for clay pigeons. But at close quarters, in a home defense situation, especially if you've got four or five of those puppies loaded, it's going to hurt. It can kill. And you certainly won't have to worry about killing your neighbors because of any over-penetration. However, that wouldn't be my go-to for it. I would put the number four buckshot. That's what I use. Bigger holes with bigger less ball bearings, but bigger balls. Less balls, but bigger balls. And that will make some big holes in evil people. And it will still respect your neighbor's right not to die. But that said, you know, and even with my Mossberg having a capacity of 5+1, which means I can have 6 shotgun shells loaded in my slide action. And that's more than enough for any situation that isn't a full on home invasion. I've still attached a little sleeve to it with 5 extra shells in case, God forbid, I need slugs. And I do actually have 5 slugs in that. I use the Winchester Super X 12-gauge 2¾ one-ounce slugs, just in case I'm invaded by Draco forces. The beauty of the shotgun is you can actually mix and match some of these loads. You can have some birdshot, some buckshot, and some slugs, and they can all go in as long as you've got the same size cartridge, right? And you're not blowing yourself up. So get yourself a shotgun. Make sure that the shotgun you purchase can be easily handled by your wife. If your wife says, oh, honey, I don't want to learn how to use a gun. You're my big, strong man. You defend me. All right, at that point, I'm going to have to make some sort of a compromise. She's going to have to learn how to reload the gun. And she's also going to have to learn to clear jams and things like that. I'm not a big fan of only one person in the house knowing how to use the gun. If you don't want to shoot someone, or whatever the idea you have in your head, you have to at least learn how to reload and clean the guns. So make sure you both know how to use the weapon. Make sure you both know how to load and unload. Both know you both how to deal with a jam or a misfire. Get the necessary training. Be familiar with your weapon. If you have to use a gun to save your life, its operation has to be second nature to you. It's extremely stressful to have someone break into your house. I've had it happen a couple of times at the dead of night. When that happens, your entire focus has to be on protecting your family and putting yourself in the best possible position to take the threat down with one shot as quickly as possible. And that requires your entire brain to be properly focused on just doing that. You can't be thinking, oh, damn, I haven't shot this for 3 months. Where is the safety? Is the tang on this side? Oh, my God, I can't remember how to unload. You can't go there in the middle of the night when there's a bloke breaking in through your window. Okay? So buy inert ammunition, practice every day until you are bored with practicing, until you can do it with your eyes closed in the dark, and then do it every day with your eyes closed in the dark until it is just absolutely pure muscle memory. And just to close off, because I do realize I have spent a lot of time on this because I do like guns, I also recommend the Mossberg 590 Shockwave series. And you might consider the 410 with a nice short 18-inch barrel for your wife. It has a nice, smooth, sweet operation. It is easy to handle. It is lethal when used properly. And honestly, every man should buy a Mossberg 590 Shockwave series for their wives. It is just a beautiful, beautiful weapon. So, Craig and Judy Memicki of Madison, Wisconsin, go ahead and do all that. Get the necessary training and be familiar with everything. And may peace honor your weapon to such an extent that you only ever get to use it at the range. Okay, I think that's it for questions, answers, and comments for today. So just go ahead, people. Keep those questions, answers, and comments coming, because that's why we started this show in the first place, to see who was out there feeling disenfranchised, to see, you know, what's going on in the minds of we, the people. The problem has always been that the silent majority has been the silent majority. And I think it's time to get up and roar. I think a great many of us are figuring out that it is coming to the point where some good people are going to have to do some very bad things. Because if people won't move when they're shoved, then we need to shove a little bit harder. Darlings, let's have a little poem, shall we, today? Let's have a little poem. This is one of my daily Substacks. I do have a Substack, Arnie Avedisian's Substack, substack.com. You can also go to the front page of my website, which you should do, you see, www.arnieavedisian.com, and learn all about whatever it says that I do, because that's where I go to figure out what it is that I do. And you can access my Metaphysical Martini podcast from there. And you can also access my Substacks and all of my services from there. I consider myself to be a patriot poet, because most of the time what I'm doing is journaling through poetry current events. But on occasion, I just write some silly stuff too, because, you know, entertainment is good. So a tiny pat of poetry. And this is one I wrote, I don't know, at some point or another in the last year. And it's called When I Grow Old and Past My Prime. When I grow old and past my prime, I will not ask for extra time. I will make peace with the years I am given. If I waste my time, that's my decision. I'll sit in a chair at the back of the pub and let young people buy me pub grub. I'll sip on my bourbon and my beer chaser, spiked with Tabasco for extra flavor. There I'll remain for most of the day, reminiscing upon my time in Bombay, when I almost married a millionaire, but he was a dick and terribly square. I'll think about the poems I have written and all the cocktails with which I've been smitten. I'll sit and pretend that I have no regrets, and give thanks to God for avoiding Tourette's. I'll share my wisdom for the price of a pint, and share my stories, which are sure to delight. And at the end of my days, I will remove all my filters and be ever so rude to liberals and grifters. I wrote that May 21st, 2025. And honestly, as I continue to write, I have no idea how I will end my days. But my dream is to own and operate a tea room, a typical sort of English tea room that specializes in traditional cream teas and flights of sherry. There will be no chintzy wall decorations per se. Instead, I want my wall space to be dedicated to books on all things Americana. I'd like it to look a little bit like the colonial times. And I would also like my tea room to be known as a hotbed of sedition, subversion, and patriotism. And of course, a place where you can get a decent flight of sherry, which is a greatly underappreciated libation, in my opinion. So there we are. If you enjoy my poetry, go to my Substack. And if you don't, I do apologize for wasting the last 3.5 minutes of your life, 3.5 minutes that you will never get back. Okie dokie. What shall we do now? Aha. Well, I do believe I called this podcast America's, the America First Agenda, part two. So last time I had said to you that I was going to write a little booklet laying out Trump's goals for America First. This chappie, P.G. Arnold, has done a fabulous job with this book, The America First Agenda. He's a military veteran, and he writes like a military veteran. No fancy frills, no pretense of luxury, no unusually long words, and just a very simple elegance to it all. Like, you know, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Now, what I'm not going to talk about today, he talks at great length about energy and environmental policies, which are important, exiting the Paris Climate Agreement, accelerating energy infrastructure, investing in research and innovation, and all of that. He also writes a lot about foreign policy and national security, why we have to reassess NATO, why we have to ban TikTok and restrict the Confucius Institutes that have been infiltrating young American minds, turning them into expired cottage cheese. And it all comes from, you know, mainland China. So you can read those in your own time. I'm moving on to social and cultural transformation. I'm going to start with the hot topic, which is banning transgender athletes in women's sports. I really just marvel that people do not see that this is the ultimate boot of the patriarchy smashing a woman's face into. I mean, fairness and equality are core principles of competitive sports, are they not? They are. So this agenda proposes a nationwide ban on transgender women competing in women's sports categories to ensure a level playing field for female athletes. By preserving the integrity of women's sports, the plan prioritizes fairness while respecting biological distinctions that impact athletic performance. These distinctions are central to maintaining the competitive spirit that defines athletics. Let me turn this into even plainer English for you. If you are a man, you have a penis. It's usually quite long and thick, and there are two balls on each side. And there's something called testosterone that men produce, and this makes them strong and beefy and full of testosterone and hairy and macho, which is very appealing to most women. You know, they're supposed to be driven crazy by the masculine attributes and want to have sex with such a man and, you know, grow the human race. You know, these are all natural, normal things. You know, protecting fairness in sports, putting women back on an equal footing. I mean, how do people not realize that on so many levels, this is the rabbit hole to hell, blurring the lines? So for so many reasons, it's already begun. People are getting their, you know, their medals taken away from them. The sports authorities are apologizing to women all over the place, women who are horribly ridiculed and in some cases abused. The other thing that goes on with that is gender-affirming care for minors. You know, I was a bit of a tomboy when, I mean, we all know I'm gay, but doesn't mean I'm masculine. I love being a woman. And believe me, darlings, I am all woman, I assure you. But I was quite a tomboy. I played lacrosse. I was kind of sportif. But it never occurred to me that I was a man. It never occurred to my parents that I was a man. It just occurred to me that I was a bit of a tomboy. And that phase ended when I started growing boobs and wearing a bra. And you think, ooh, you know, This is what a dress is for. It hangs so much nicely if you have curves, you know? So all these parents out there that are affirming a different gender for their child and lining up to take them on these gender bending surgeries and whatever, what the fuck is the matter with you people? That is abuse. You can never reverse such a surgery. You can't go around cutting your child's dick and balls off and trying to fashion a vagina in there, or God forbid the other way around. I mean, what is going on with all of this stuff? You're going to be mentally ill for the rest of your life because hormonal supplementation is required. You're either a man and you have a certain set of hormones, or you're a woman and you have a certain set of hormones. You can't be flipping and flopping. You will not be a useful person to yourself or to anyone. You'll be broken and mentally ill. We don't want a nation of broken and mentally ill people. And that takes us on to the next thing, which is the DEI initiatives, diversity, equity, and inclusion. These promote divisive ideologies. Trump will stop, he will eliminate all of this mandatory DEI training that's going on in the federal agencies. I mean, what is all this about? It has to be merit-based. If it's not merit-based, then everyone gets a participation trophy. And why don't we, let's have blind surgeons in hospital. What a wonderful idea. I am so, so happy I thought of that. Why didn't any of you think of that? Let's be really diverse. Let's have blind surgeons and let's have deaf musicians. Or let's get people who have no interest in doing something and pay them a lot of money to do it. What is the matter with all of this? Why is everyone just doing this rubbish? You know, we know why it is. We were doing well with racism. We were getting to a point. We pretty much were eliminating it. And a lot of that credit goes to the Black pastors and community leaders of the Black community for stepping up and saying, we have a bit of an internal problem here. Let's work this out. We're no longer on the plantation. We are Americans. We have everything that we need, all the opportunities, etc. So credit where credit is due. But this whole thing of like, oh my God, we're all getting on very well. Let's reintroduce racism. Oh, we're all getting on very well. You know, nobody gives a shit about gays anymore. So let's get pedophiles and adrenochrome drinkers and people with gender dysphoria, and let's tack that on to the whole gay agenda thing. And let's just keep bringing up and promoting these divisive ideologies. All of that has to go away. And forget about gay, straight, or any of that. The reason is that if it's not merit-based, then we are not putting the right people in the right jobs to grow those positions in the way that they need to be grown. It's really that simple. It's in the same way as Secretary Hegseth can't have dudes in dresses in the army, because if a dude's wearing a dress, then he's on hormones, which means he's on medication. And if you are on long-term medication, you are not deployable. And the army is something that needs to be deployed. Warriors need to be deployed. We're also going to teach people to love their country again. And we're going to promote patriot-based education in schools. And that doesn't mean America, rah, 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 don't criticize it. It means let's learn the history and let's learn it properly. And let's take pride in American history, in civics, in the principles of our democracy. Let us learn how we got to the place where we are now. Let us oppose critical race theory in all curricula, because it's just a ridiculous concept. We really need to get parents more involved and to put more input in their children's education. And that requires transparency and accountability from the school. And it requires a genuine desire for a parent to show up and be there for the future of a child. a future that they want to build for the child, not what the matrix wants to build for the child. P.G. Arnold also goes on to talk about Trump's judicial and government overhaul, which is going to have to start with pardoning the January the 6th participants. There's a lot to look in there. There were some people that were causing trouble, but most weren't. He talks about overhauling the Department of Justice, because obviously they're the ones we rely on to uphold the rule of law, but concerns about politicization and overreach, well, let's just say it's eroded their credibility. So good luck to Pam Bondi with all of that. He talks about restructuring federal agencies, cutting the bureaucratic inertia, streamlining the federal workforce, enhancing transparency and all of that. He also talks about infrastructure and urban development, building what he calls freedom cities, a vision for innovation. Now, here's something that got me interested, because I do not care for, it's just a personal thing, I do not care for manufactured cities, for these manufactured communities. There's one down the road from me, about 5 minute drive down the road, and it's called Charbonneau. And it's all these different types of houses. It's a planned community. I hate that shit. I really do. For every so many houses, here's a pub. For every so many houses, here's a grocery store. For so many houses, here's another bloody freaking Starbucks, you know? So what they're talking about here is a little bit different. Freedom cities. They're talking about, let me just read it to you, it'll be easier. Freedom cities will feature a range of incentives to attract entrepreneurs, startups, and businesses, creating jobs and driving economic prosperity. So what I gather, these freedom cities are places where they're going to give tax breaks and grants to companies that establish headquarters or manufacturing plants within these cities. And they're also going to integrate educational institutions, research centers, to foster a culture of innovation and collaboration. By prioritizing accessibility and affordability, Freedom Cities will offer housing and amenities designed for modern sustainable living, making them attractive to families and young professionals alike. I'm leaning towards this. What he's thinking of, it's not about section affordable housing, section 8, whatever, because everybody goes, oh my God, when one of those ends up in your town. Because apparently, you know, well, I know they're doing one here too. What happens? Okay, fantastic. In it goes. And then the next day, police sirens, needles all over the floor, people getting killed. It's the people with the mental health issues. I think what they're thinking here is not that. These young couples that they want to give the affordable houses to in the freedom cities are probably young university graduates who can work with these young entrepreneurs. He's talking about baby bonuses. For all you people out there propagating, you know, and growing the race, the white race, the black race, the American race, keep going. If you're going to birth Americans, please keep going. I think Trump wants to make some sort of investment in that. There's a lot in here about modernizing critical infrastructure, because our infrastructure is crap. And it talks about media, technology, military and the veterans, cutting federal spending. I mean, every single thing that is on Trump's agenda is in this little book. And this little book that I will keep going on about, if you could just give it to your family members who say this, I'm tired of Trump lying. Oh, I see, Auntie Joan. What's he lying about now? Everything, everything. Oh, I see. So everything he says is a lie. If he says, I went to the toilet this morning and took a dump, do you think he was lying about that? No, don't be stupid. You know what I mean. Everything is a lie. No, I don't know what you mean, because what I'm seeing is a man who in under half a year has saved the Republic of America from becoming a Luciferian outpost. So this is a no-nonsense, non-partisan affiliated book that just says this is what America First is planning to do. This is how we think we're going to do it. And this is why we think it's a good idea. So in conclusion, my brethren, What you will get out of this book is a vision for America's future. We will learn how to reclaim our national sovereignty. We will revitalize the economy. We will secure our future. We will strengthen national security and take our rightful place in global leadership, which I think should be at the top, towards the back, in a consulting manner. And something I'm really looking forward to is championing American values. I am sick and tired of having American traditional values trampled on, pissed upon, and shit upon. This is a really good book that teaches us the path forward. And there's a tremendous undercurrent in here. I'm getting a psychic vibe from it, if I can put it that way. There's a tremendous undercurrent in that book about small business and family business. I know they keep talking about these innovations, et cetera, but I really think that we're going to see a massive return to small businesses, and we will have our middle class back again. And then once that's in place, 10 years from now, you won't recognize this country. You are going to be so tired of winning. You're going to have to go on vacation to a place like Rwanda just to see what not winning feels like. Although Rwanda, was it also Congo? A lot of these people made it into the Oval Office recently and had a chat with Big Donny. And hopefully we will trade ego-driven war for peace, prosperity, and trade. So isn't that exciting? Are you as excited as I am about America's future? If you're not, you should be. You should develop this overwhelming feeling of optimism. I have said this before, and I will say it again. The next few months are going to be a shit show, but you don't have to buy into it. Remember, it's already happened. We're just showing it again, frame by frame. My darlings, I want to remind you, please, to visit my website once in a while, arnieavedisian.com. And for those of you who are just new to metaphysics and you want to refine the personality and you want to learn the basics of all metaphysical tenets, but you don't want to spend a fortune doing it, but you want some sort of personal development, why not sign up for my tarot class? Because it's not about teaching you tarot. I do teach you tarot, obviously. It is a tarot class. But it's about character development through the archetypes of the major arcana, and then through the minor suits, through the wands, we will learn about creativity and the fire in our souls. Through the cups, we will learn about processing emotions and how to be fluid like water. Through the swords, we will learn to sharpen our concentration and our focus. And through the pentacles, we will learn to ground ourselves and understand what the real meaning of prosperity is. How do we make the divine vibe within us a permanent gear shift so that we don't have to keep getting into the zone, you know, the zone? That's the thing. I mean, that's my idea. Join my Tarot Agogo class. It's $500. You get 10 one-on-one sessions with me. And it is hands down my most popular class. I think it's because it's tremendous value for money. This is my friend, Clarence, the floating head of death. And he recommends my Tarot Agogo class. Do you recommend the class Tarot? Oh, yes. Arnie's Tarot class is fantastic. Sign up for it now. Thank you, Clarence. You can go back to your little resting area. Folks, I think, even though I haven't finished my drink, I have really, really dropped the ball on this one today. But in my defense, I am recording this show a whole hour earlier than I used to, so it's not officially drinky poo time. I'm going to have to say, even though I haven't finished my drink, which officially ends the show, I think that's all we have time for today. I do hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I had a blast. I always do. I do this every other Wednesday. I get to be me, and I get to throw caution to the wind and say whatever the heck I want to say, whatever pleases me. I wonder who I am for the rest of the 6 days a week, but on Wednesdays, I'm very much me. Today's Real Life Cocktail is a celebration of flavor, and it is most suitable for a July 4th weekend, which is coming up in a couple of days, because every sip is an explosion of joy. It is called a Ginger Gold Rush Cocktail, and here is how you make it. Let me just sip it. Oh, it is delicious. How did I make this thing today? I used 1.5 ounces of bourbon. You can use any bourbon. Don't be a snobby poo. But I use Maker's Mark because it's my good go-to. 1 ounce of ginger liqueur. Obviously, use the best that you can afford, but you can also just use the De Kuyper. That's perfectly fine. And 1/2 ounce of fresh lemon juice. And I cannot stress this enough. Fresh lemon juice. It can ruin a drink if you use the ready-made one. The ready-made one's okay for the odd cooking thing, but for cocktails, it has to be fresh. So 1.5 ounces of bourbon to 1 ounce of ginger liqueur to 1/2 ounce of fresh lemon juice. Put it in a shaker with cracked ice. Shaky, shaky, shaky. Really hard shake. Integrate the flavors. Get it really cold. Strain. And you can pour it into a coupe glass, or if you prefer it on the rocks like me, topped up with club soda, just go ahead and put it into a lowball glass. Dress it with a piece of stem ginger. And Bob's your uncle. You've got a very, very refreshing drink. Now, remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. Shout out to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, supplier of all things metaphysical and all services metaphysical. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. I am Ani, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Love you, love you. If you would like to sponsor this show in some meaningful way, give me a call. My contact information is on the website, aniavedisian.com. Operators are standing by, I assure you. Until we meet again, whatever happens next, do not comply. Kick the establishment in the eye. And this weekend, eat lots of good old-fashioned American apple pie.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.